This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, making it happen, man. Still riding off the high of last weekend's Money Mixer. Super excited about getting together with about 100 and something of my closest friends in the community here and making things happen and really just seeing the progress, right? Students are closing deals, they're partnering with each other and learning the basics. What's going on in your world, Gino?
Josh, I was supposed to have a day off this week, but I guess last week rolled into this week. And the best part about it is I don't even know what day it is anymore. It doesn't matter because we love what we're doing. I mean, Jake and Gino, the community is making an impact. I had an amazing weekend because I saw the culture and the core values emanate throughout the entire, platform. I mean, the RAND property management team was there. They were teaching our students how to buy deals. They were teaching our students how to reposition properties. They were networking with our students. Our students were there, over 150, three buses full, going to three different properties. Then at nighttime, doing that networking event, getting to meet students and getting to network with them as well. It was an awesome event. It was fantastic.
Love it. Speaking of the event, we actually had today's podcast guest joining us at that event. So today's guest is Nate Goddard. So Nate's the founding member of MRGO Capital Group. He works for a Fortune 200 professional services firm providing risk advisory and transactional services to the Fortune 500 and other multinational firms. He earned a dual BBA degrees in finance and risk management and insurance from the University of South Carolina. Nate began his real estate investment journey in 2018, purchasing student housing, and currently owns 22 units. In addition, he is the host of a real estate podcast. In Nate's spare time, he enjoys golfing and other outdoor activities. Nate resides in Atlanta, Georgia. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Nate.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm super stoked to be here.
So, Nate, we got to open up with this. How old are you? You got to tell everybody this first. You're young.
I'm 25 years young.
25 and making it happen. Look, I wish I could go back and be 25 in your shoes. I could promise at the age of 31, I'd be much further ahead. But let's hear about this. I mean, you're clearly very educated. You're on a great track in your professional career and doing well. What made you decide to look at a side hustle or something to supplement your income? And then why real estate?
So, yeah, and I think a good place to start would be like the very beginning, right? So for me, real estate became a focus in my life when I was in college. Just talking about it with my friends, it was something that I guess at the time you'd consider a shiny object. Like, hey guys, when we graduate, let's get into this whole real estate thing, and didn't know exactly what that meant. You know, fast forward a year out of school, we were like, oh wow, we can get into this real estate game fairly simply. And that's kind of where the whole buying student rentals came into place, buying in our backyard where we went to school in South Carolina. Kind of from there, I was kind of presented with multifamily. One of my partners on that deal was doing some multifamily stuff for a larger operator in the Southeast and introduced me to the concept, started going to some meetups, networking events, and doing a little education on my own. And I realized this is a really cool concept. It's really cool, but it also seems really daunting and challenging. And I love challenges. So I'm like, I need to kind of immerse myself in this even more. And I'm up for the challenge. I want to figure out a way how to take deals down in a profitable and successful manner where it's kind of a win for everyone. Mm-hmm. So kind of in doing that, I immediately, like within, you know, a matter of like a month or so, was like, I need to, you know, better educate myself, surround myself with, you know, people that are in and playing in the space. Josh, to your point, I mean, I have a time job that, you know, I'm not desperate to get out of. Fortunately, I like what I do for the time being. But at the same time, you know, knowing that the time I have during the day is packed with work, I had to kind of figure out a way to learn how multifamily works and learn from people who have been there and done that, because I didn't want to go down the path of working for, you know, someone else and putting sweat equity in there. I kind of wanted to make it my own, like you were saying.
Love that.
You bring up an awesome point there. And honestly, it's about getting the most out of the time that you have. So you have a career and something that's very demanding. So how can you take what limited time you have and most efficiently learn this so you can then get a result in the quickest amount of time? So that's what I love about high-level books such as yourself.
So Nate, two facts, everybody, that I've learned about Nate from this weekend. Number one, spend a couple minutes with him at the Money Mixer. He's got a COVID mustache. I like the COVID stash. Not going to say, you know, I don't like it. I think it looks really cool. When I first met Nate, he didn't have it. Then I remember jumping on a Zoom call and I'm like, wow, what? He said, it's the COVID stash. Number two, he is a lot smarter than Gino. Finance, risk management. Whoa. Big words, my friend. That is awesome. You know, what I want to really know from you though, is what problems were you experiencing before joining Jake and Gino? What were the struggles that you had trying to get into multifamily by yourself?
Where to even begin? Right. Like it's not like single family residential where, you know, you can easily find like a Keller Williams agent or Remax or whatever. And, you know, properties can kind of be sent to you. It's a bit more challenging to like figure out who the brokers in town are, because there's only a select few in every market that handle a majority of the deals. So that was one of the pieces. Mm-hmm. Another piece was learn all the financials, right? Like, Gino, to your point, I do have a finance background, but I still had no clue how you model deals and how you structure them from a debt perspective and an equity perspective. So there was a lot to learn, and there's a lot of good information out there. You know, there's some great books, Wheelbarrow Profits being one of them, but until you kind of have, I guess, a lot of experience and repetitions doing it, you're not going to learn anything. And for me, like one of the challenges was, well, I didn't see myself being able to learn in the environment I was, mm-hmm. Which I guess kind of led me to that next step.
So talk about the coaching a little bit. How has the coaching also impacted you, having that hand holding?
Yeah, I know. I think it's been phenomenal, because whenever something comes up that you're not sure about, like there's an answer to it, right? There's someone that's always been there and done that. And so you can rely on others to help you get through some of the challenges. I mean, on this last 21 unit that I took down, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you can read as many books as you want. You can listen to all the podcasts in the world, listen to all the webinars. There's stuff that's going to come up and you're going to have no clue how to handle that type of stuff. And so that's where coaching or some type of coach or mentorship really is a differentiator, because it'll help you work through those types of problems.
Love that. Can you share your experience this past weekend at the Money Mixer? What were your, you know, golden nuggets? What did you like about the event? Were you energized when you came home? Because, dude, I'm still riding high. It's Wednesday and 4 days later, and I'm still pumped. I'm wearing Josh out over there. He said he thinks I plug in at night. I just don't plug in. I'm just energized. I love what I'm doing. So what were your thoughts about the Money Mixer this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was phenomenal, too. I mean, whenever you get the opportunity, especially in today's day and age with COVID and anything, to get together with high-level investors, right? It's it's great. Everyone who kind of has similar goals might be in different places of the country, but I think you really feed off of that, and it's good momentum kind of moving forward, and allows you to kind of ride what other people are doing and take, you know, some of the successes they're implementing in their businesses and apply it to yours, which, it, like I said, in a COVID world, things are ever changing, right? Like, you need to stay on top of your game, and being at events like that, you know, I think really help sharpen the knife.
So when did you realize, wow, I can do this? Do you have an aha or an epiphany moment? Like, wow, I can actually take down this deal.
It took me a while, and not going to lie, even at the beginning of my journey in Wheelbarrow Profits, you know, there were times where it was like, this is daunting. Like, how am I supposed to do it? How am I, like, I don't have a bank account with $2 million sitting there ready to go deposit into a deposit for, you know, a property or something like that. Or, you know, I'm not going to be able to manage a property of this size. You know, I think it really took a couple months to really see what others were doing and realize, hey, this is something that I can do. Though, you know, all along I knew I could do it, but you, until you get comfortable with things, you're always going to have apprehensions. And once you start doing stuff more, you're going to be able to feel comfortable and have more of that mindset that's going to allow you to get past some of the limiting beliefs you may have. So while at first I may have had some limiting beliefs, I always knew that I was going to take down a multifamily property, but there's hurdles that you need to, that you'll go through. And really until probably, like, you know, from when I first learned about multifamily to when I actually knew I could do it, it was probably about like 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. Half a year before I was comfortable saying, like, hey, this is something I can do.
Mm-hmm. So I think everyone who's listening to this should really pay heed to what Nate is saying. He didn't have a ton of money, but what he had was the education. He had the teamwork. He had the goals. He had the hard work, and he had the vision to get into a deal. It's not always about the money. It's about where you're going to bring value and how you're going to take these deals down. That's really important for everybody to really wrap their minds around, because when Jake and I started, same thing, I didn't have a big bank account. We creatively financed our first deal, owner financing our first deal. And the epiphany for me was when we closed that first deal, I'm like, I don't need millions of dollars. I need money, but I can use other people's money. As long as I learn the business, that's really, really important. Can we dive into the deal real quick? Tell us how you found the deal. Tell us what you like about the deal.
Yeah, no, happy to do so. So it's 21 units. Mm-hmm. It's outside of Atlanta, about an hour drive. I found a deal. It was a broker listing, and, you know, kind of dug through it, toured the property, and found some areas that, you know, there was perceived value that, you know, others may not have seen. And this is value through what some call operations, right? So not necessarily value add through raising rents and enhancing interiors or exterior stuff like that. Though that is part of the plan, mm-hmm. but it's not the primary focus of what we're doing. We found operational inefficiencies in just going through a lot of stuff, through talking to the current property manager, digging through tax records, stuff like that, which will allow us long-term to increase our NOI. And what's crazy is this is a property that's performing day one. It's 100% occupied. There's actually a waiting list currently, and there had been, for people to get in. Everyone's paying through COVID. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better investment to find in the middle of a pandemic like we had. And, you know, it's in a market where there's limited supply, high demand, and there's a ton of job growth. There's down the road and a couple of Amazon facilities, very industrial. So we like all the demographics of what's happening in the market, and think just over time, it's going to be a nice investment.
Josh, I've got to add a few things first. Let me say this, because Nate has truly gone through the education and he's embodied the buy right, the manage right, and the finance right in that one sentence. I got to rip down a few things that Nate said. The first thing, he's talking about valuation through operation, not just renovation, which is an amazing tool, that operational efficiency. That's golden nugget number one right there. Number two, the market cycle. Nate is looking at the market cycle, the three pillars of real estate. He sees the market cycle. He's selected a market that is, now, I don't want to say COVID resistant, but when you're 100% occupied, everybody out there, guess what? You're raising rents. That's what it comes down to. So there is the ability to raise rents. There's demand. I heard the word Amazon. I heard the word jobs. I heard the word people are paying their bills. That's something else that you're looking for in a market. I mean, it's amazing. And it talks about demographics. Demographics are important. who's moving into it, the population growth, the job growth. That's really important for picking a market. Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, Nate. So a few things I want to dive into in that deal. I know you had a seller that was challenging. Talk a little bit about that and how you were able to overcome that. That's, I give you a lot of credit with what you're able to do with what you face.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, from the time that we first our LOI was accepted to closing, it took 5 months, which, you know, for me, I'm go, right? Like, and for it to just take so much time, it was frustrating. From just the LOI process to formalizing the purchase and sale agreement, there was a lot of back and forth there, which I know a lot of listeners might feel the pain there. But getting all of our due diligence materials that we had requested took another month and a half. And then going through the process, we just uncovered stuff that, you know, it wasn't exactly, I guess, marketed to us like a certain way and so on and so forth from the seller. But, you know, we were able to get through that. Ultimately, you know, like you said, Josh, there were certainly challenges that we had to deal with, but you kind of have to look at how the seller may be thinking about things and try to put yourself in their shoes and come up with solutions that not only work for you, but work for them and how they would think about it. Because at the end of the day, they have a valuable piece of real estate. And if it's all about me and what I want, like, you know, it's not going to work out. Even with a challenging seller, when they may be in the wrong, you still have, if they have something that you want, you have to think about what they want and appease them. Because if you don't, then, you know, you could kill a deal over something that might not be a big deal. So there's challenges that are going to come up. We certainly encounter them on this transaction, but you figure out ways to work through them.
So Josh, Nate is talking about the SPY technique, something I'm sure that he learned from his coaches, the negotiation technique where it's the seller, the property, and you. You're really looking at what the seller's needs are, not just yourself, and trying to solve a problem. So that's another really, I mean, amazing tip and amazing golden nugget that you're out there. You're trying to structure the deal. You don't want to just say for a win-win, but really, if you don't have a motivated seller, you're not creating value for the other side, then it's going to be tough to close that deal. Am I right, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, it's spot on, Gino. If the seller's not happy, like they're not gonna work with you. I mean, this is a deal where there were 15 other offers. Ours was not the highest, and we got selected, right? Like the seller knows they left money on the table to work with us. And so, you know, we understand that, right? But at the same time, we can't screw ourselves. So, you know, there's a fine balance, but at the end of the day, you figure out a way to appease the other party, because like you said, it's not just about what we want as buyers.
I love that. Last long answer question. What do your goals look like going forward as far as multifamily and your job?
Yeah, no, I think in terms of multifamily, the goal is to continue taking down deals similar to this. I mean, this was 20 plus units. Would love to do, you know, more deals like this, whether that goes larger. I mean, would love that as well. My philosophy is it's not necessarily about size. It's about quality and taking down quality deals. And you know, I guess I just have this long-term vision. If I keep doing this, rinse and repeat, like I'll be in a place 5-10 years from now where things will be good, right? Like I won't have to necessarily focus on a full-time W-2 role if I don't want to. The nice thing about that is, you know, I've kind of like balanced both. And if I want to down the road do something different, like I'll have that flexibility. So, you know, if it continues down the path of doing one transaction a year, like that would be great. If it's three, even better, right? Like, but I don't have necessarily a specific timeline for taking it down other than, you know, just putting more deals under my belt.
From the words of a wise mentor of mine, you are where you need to be to where you need to go. You are perfectly in the perfect place where you are right now to where you need to go. And that's the great thing about it. And it's not about ego. It's about the quality of the deal. I love that. That's so important, everybody. Know what your goals are. If your goals are to scale up and get bigger deals and you need to get out there, you need to be underwriting a lot of deals. So figure out what your goals are and start working towards your goals.
That's such a good point, you know, too, because it's like there's so much like chatter out there about like what's right, what's wrong, or what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. And at the end of the day, it's like, figure out what works for you. And, mm-hmm. and I didn't realize that at first. It's just like, you hear so much and you're not sure what to believe. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to figure out what is important to you and build a brand or business around that. Because if you don't, one, I don't think you're going to be authentic in how you present yourself. Mm-hmm. And two, you know, you might just have this like blurred vision for things. And it's like, you know, I don't think that's a recipe for success. Whereas, you know, being like knowing what you want and being versatile, I think allows for, you know, a lot more success long-term.
Bottom line, choose your mentors wisely. Bottom line, Josh, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, Nate, I got some short answer questions for you here. So let's say this, right? A newer investor walks up to you on the street and he's like, hey man, I want to get into multifamily. What's the best advice you could give to that person?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the most important thing, and Gino's going to smile, but is educate yourself, right? Like if you're not educated, there's no way that you can be successful without a background whatsoever. Because you're just not going to know how to do things. I mean, I guess you could try to wing it, right? But, you know, I think that's going to end up poorly down the road if I had to guess. So The best piece of advice would be figure out what education is right for you, whether it's working with someone that's been there, done that, or finding a mentor that kind of aligns with your values. That's the way to go, because if you don't, it's going to be a long uphill battle.
Nate, we say Jake and Gino, and you've heard it probably countless times. It's probably beaten into your head so often. Education times action equals results. I mean, we've trademarked it. We truly believe in that. If you're serious about getting into multifamily, if you're serious about getting into any endeavor, gauge your seriousness, become clear. We don't lack motivation. We lack clarity, right? And Nate, once he became clear on multifamily, he took the next step to educate himself, right? And then from that education, he started taking massive action. So just become clear on your goals. Once you know that the vehicle of multifamily will lead you to your financial goals, then it's time to say, I need to start taking some massive action. And not just a bunch of videos online. Get serious about it. Find somebody who's done it before, invest in your education, join a community, get yourself engrossed, have the accountability there to somebody to push you to say, you know what? I can't come to the Money Mixer this weekend because I'm tired. No, Nate's got his buddies saying, you better be in Knoxville because we're looking at deals. And you know what? Nate's not going to let his buddies down. He'll let himself down, but he's not going to let Josh down because Josh is hounding him to get out there. And Nate's smiling because he knows that. And that's something that was a light bulb for me. Say, you know what? Oh, education is great, but you need education times action times that accountability. And that will ultimately lead to your results.
Boom. All right, Nate, I got a good one for you, man. So you're 25 and you're ahead of most people, even 10 years senior. What's your best habit for success?
Yeah, this is something I'd say I struggle with a little, but I think being organized with your time and having some discipline to it. You know, there's days where, say, I wake up at 6:30 and I wish I woke up at 5, and I'm honest with myself. Like I know there's room for improvement. But I know that I need to be disciplined and organized in how I spend my time, right? Like I have during the day a W-2 job that requires my attention for a good chunk of it for the most part. And I know that if I want to be a successful real estate investor, I need to allocate time outside of sun up, some sundown, 9 to 5 to do other things. And you know, if that means not hanging out with friends a given day, or, you know, waking up before the sun rises, like that needs to get done. But you need to have that discipline and that organization to know like what needs to get done, when it needs to get done. So kind of prioritizing and subsequently, like, you know, allowing yourself like the time to make it happen.
As the great Stephen Covey says, first things first. There's quadrants in your life. You have urgent and important. Those are things that need to get done. Those are the important things. That's a W-2 job. That's you paying the bills, right? Quadrant two is not urgent, but important. Those are the things that Nate is talking about. The learning zone versus the performance zone. The performance zone is you're out there, you're doing it. Nate dedicates a portion of his time and week to the education. This Saturday was the learning zone. He didn't go hang out with his friends, right? He hung out with the community. He took a financial vacation. That's the difficult, right? That's not urgent to do, but it's so important. And most of us don't do that. Dedicate your time onto the things, talking to brokers, property tours, education, getting on masterminds, all of those things that will lead to your success ultimately. So always think of first things first.
Nate, I think you really bring home a point that most people don't get, and it took me a while as well, is time is truly our most valuable asset. And I have a kind of a point that I can really hammer that in. So if you look at someone like Warren Buffett, the guy's 90 years old and he's worth about $100 billion. Yeah, very few people would want to trade places with him today. And when you really think about why, I mean, you guys got all the money in the world. It's because time is way more valuable than money. And once you start valuing your time, you don't look at it as, hey, I'm going to go spend my time with my buddy. Where am I going to invest that time to get a return? Whether it's educating and becoming better, or whether it's actually making progress, like Gino was saying. So I love that one. All right. Lastly, what about your favorite book you've ever read?
So my favorite book I've ever read, and I have it in my bookshelf right up here, is probably the book on rental property investing by Brandon Turner. That's kind of what all started it for me. And, you know, I was someone who I never enjoyed reading growing up, like going through school, never enjoyed reading all the fiction books or even some of the nonfiction, though that was, I guess, a little bit more interesting for me. When I read that book, I think it was two and a half years ago, I found myself reading a book for like cover to cover, like in a short period of time for the first time ever. You know, it's such a basic book, but for anyone out there like looking to get into real estate, it's such an important book. And it was a great book for me to get started. And I say this is my favorite book because it's what's gotten me into other books and it's what's gotten me into real estate. So while it's not like the most, high or like in the weeds type of writing, there's so much good information there that can be applied to all verticals of real estate, in my opinion, that I think is valuable for anyone that's really just starting out, or the more experienced investor as well.
Love it. Nate, I mean, that's a great point, my man. Gino, give us some takeaways from today's episode.
So Nate Gottesman graduates college 2018, goes into student housing, and he knows that real estate is in the future. He started off as a shiny object syndrome. That's what I heard. And the great thing about Nate, everybody, he's a high level performer. The Jake and Gino community is blessed to have him in the community because he's really representing the youth. 25 years old, most people are just getting out of college and have no idea what the hell they're doing. And Nate's taking down deals. He's understanding what his goals are. He's understanding what his bandwidth is. He's looking for his highest and best use. And he knows that real estate fits in the plan. And that's what I love most about him. And he understands it's education times action equals results. And it's one step at a time. How many 25-year-olds out there do you know would go through a deal that took over 5 months? The majority of 45-year-olds would probably have quit. So it's also patience, persistence, and willing to stick through it. So, you know, it's been an honor to have you part of the community. It's been an honor to interview you. I had a great time meeting you this weekend. And, you know, Nate, continued success in real estate and in your future endeavors.
No, I appreciate it, Gino. This has been a fun episode, and can't thank you both enough for having me on, obviously, and all the support along the way.
Nate, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
Listeners can get a hold of me a couple ways. If you want to email me, my email is nate@mergocapitalgroup.com. Or you could find me on Instagram as well, @ngotti. Those are two ways. I'm on all social media besides TikTok. Maybe that'll be coming in the future. But for now, you can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn,
Shiny Objects. Anywhere. Shiny object, don't go too wide. Stay in your lane, right, Josh?
Yes, sir. All right, Nate, listen, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your movers and shakers story. Now, guys, listen, if you like this show, please leave us a review. Until next time, let's make it a movers and shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, Nate.